happens. Why corresponds or he relates that to the rechem, to the rechem, and that the role of shifra and pua in the chayena sayadim of giving these children life, of reviving them, is akin to a person who's blowing shofar to be mamluch Hashem. And when we blow shofar, man de nafach mitocho nafach, from the breath that's giving us life, we blow into the shofar. The same way, shifra and pua, we're literally resuscitating, we're blowing life into these children who, for all intents and purposes, were destined to be thrown into the Nile. We're a level of stillborn. They're performing CPR, and they're literally blowing life into them, reviving them, giving them a soul, giving them life. Over and over, now you have the psukim in front of you, over and over, we see an emphasis of a tira enoha mialdos, at these mialdos, that these women had yirat shamayim, they had an awareness of God. Their yirat shamayim, Rav Nachman explains, is what gave them the strength to stand in the face of Gezeiras Paro. It corresponds that, or relates that, to the experience of Rosh Hashanah, standing before God. That tkiyat shofar awakens yirat shamayim. And so the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah is Vashem Pakad et Sarah. We read about Sarah Imenu conceiving. We read about Chana, life coming into the world on Rosh Hashanah. So I thought, in honor of the upcoming New Year's, to share a few words in honor of these women, these Mialdos, and in honor of everyone who's here, this amazing group of advisors and staff who are involved, as Rav Nassim will explain, in the same work that these Mialdos were doing. Dr. Viva Zorenberg, in her beautiful parish on Shmos, describes these women as like the ones who really triggered the revolution. Moshe Rabbeinu gets a lot of credit for identifying with his brothers who were suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu really came into the world. All the other Jewish male children really came into the world. The generation existed because of the Mesiras Nefesh, the Yirat Shamayim of these Mialdos. And their Zocha, they're rewarded with Batim. They're rewarded with homes. Pasuk says, Vayuhi ki yaru ha-mialdos, the last Pasuk on top. They had Yirat Shamayim. Vayas lahem Batim. Rashi explains these Batim that they're Zocha to, Kuhuna, Levia, Malchus. So I wanted to just learn together in the few minutes that we have before the students are finished with their program, with their educators, with their chaburas, to learn a piece together from Ibn Nasan. I think this is now Chazaka. This is the third year in a row that I have the schus to be at the Yarchikala and learn a piece of the Kute Halachas on the opening night. So, for all of those keeping track at home at the OU, this is a chazaka. It's too late now. Says Rav Nassim, v'techayena es hayeladim. These brave and heroic women who gave life to these children, who sustained them, who kept them alive, who risked their own safety and well-being with mesiras nefesh mamish, in order to give life to these Jewish children. Says Rav Nassim, Tzadike Hador Nikrim Mialdos HaIvrios. The Tzadike Hador, the righteous ones of the generation, are called Mialdos, those who bring Jewish life into the world. Nassim writes elsewhere that someone who fulfills the role of teaching Torah to another Jew, the Gemara tells us, Kol Malamed Ben Chaveiro Torah, anyone who teaches their friend's child Torah, Kilu Yalado, it's as if he brought them into the world. So that anyone who's teaching Torah, all of us, who are empowering and enabling others in Torah and mitzvos, are walking in the footsteps and living the lives of the Mialdos HaIvrios. Tzadike Hador. Do we feel that we are considered part of the Tzadik Hador? Does anyone here feel that they have reached the level of being considered one of the Tzadik Hador? Or is this only talking about Avichamayor Morgenstern, Rav Kivak, Rav Kluger? Is this talking about only like the greatest of the generation? I don't know who else in that category, Shani Tarragon, I don't know. Like, who else? Like, is this the Tzaddiki Ador only considered the ones who are like the top notch, top shelf? The ones who get Hagon HaTzadik before their name? And Shlita, does anyone here feel that they're part of the Tzaddiki Ador? Pasuk in Daniel tells us that anyone who is engaged in the act of giving over Torah to another, of empowering or enabling Shmiras HaMitzvos or Haskalah to another Jew, HaMaskilim Yizaru Kizar HaRakia, the enlightened ones, will illuminate like the firmament, Umatzdike HaRabim Kikochavim LaOlam Vaed, someone who is Mezakeh HaRabim, who empowers others, who enables others, another's spiritual growth or well-being. It's called Matzdike HaRabim. Says Reb Nosson, any Jew who steps into that role, who is living with the Or HaTzadik, anyone who is drawing vitality from the Tzadikim Amitim, anyone who is drawing vitality from the true masters and is sharing it with another, is reflecting the light of the sun as the moon, or who makes himself into a shofar and broadcasts the breath of God, that's called someone who is Nekuda of the Tzaddik, who's living with the Nekuda Tzaddik. Tzaddiki Ador Nekroim Miyaldos HaIvrios. What's happening here on this Yarech HaKala, all of us are Miyaldot. With Mesiras Nefesh, for many of you it's finals time. For a number of us, we're away from family. And for everyone, there's a lot of work and effort. V'techayena es hayiladim. Sha'oskim laholid b'Yisrael todos kedosho shel Torah masim tovim. To be in the model of the Miyaldot is someone who is enabling a life of holiness in another, of Torah and masim tovim. Z'asher shema achas shifra v'ashenis pua. Someone who's improving the life of another Jew is the level or the expression or the manifestation of Shifra. Hashem Hashem is Pua. Shepoa medaberet v'hogal avlad kederech anashim v'faisos tino kaboche. There's a Jewish child who's crying, who's in need. We respond to that cry, to that call, whether expressed or unexpressed, of I want life, by responding, that's we're walking in the footsteps of Pua. Ki tzadikim mechazkim et Yisrael, the role of the tzadikim, which all of us are reflecting that light. The Or HaTzadik is the light which is guiding us. That's the wind in our sails. We're that shofar blast. The role of the tzaddik and what we're learning from the tzaddikim is to find the good in every person and to attach ourselves to the light that exists in every single Jew. I want to call it the soul. I want to call it the tzelem elokim. And the kudos tovos, the bright points. And finding those points and accentuating them, touching them, lighting them up. Like Shlomo Melech, the wisest of all men, said, if you really look at Klal Yisrael, if we're really able to look at the Jewish people, kipshuto, not like the berditchever, and not if we have to like turn ourselves in knots to be able to find good, but just looking at Jewish people, kipshuto, on the most basic level, we see hinach yafa ra'ayasi, how beautiful this nation is, how beautiful we are. You're walking around the lobby before, these kids milling around, socializing, dropping bags, hugging each other. They haven't seen each other since the summer. Meeting up with their old advisors, meeting up with the bus rabbi, meeting up with the mechanechet from here, and the person from there. It was a beautiful thing. It was like watching a pinball game. Oh, a pinball game is you pull back, I just, it's in my mind because it's Chafei December, and you know, Tommy didn't know what day it was, but it was. Everyone knows that it was a pinball wizard, and anyways, a pinball. you pull it back, and the ball just bops, and it hits, and it bumps in everything it bumps into. It lights it up, and you just see these kids bumping into each other, seeing each other, and they see you, and you greet them with a smile, and with a warm shalom aleichem, with a hug, show them where to go, and that. You're excited to see them, and then you're happy that they're here, and that they're here for something meaningful. It lights them up. Shifra, pua. V'chei nikrin gam pua. Shem shepoin v'hogin medabrin mishal. Just speaking to them. Engaging in conversation. Just talking. Shooting the breeze. You matter. I'm interested in you. Do you have what you need? Do you know where you're going? Medabrin Yisrael, v'shurkin, v'tzavtzifin aleim l'chazkam, and finding ways to be creative, to point out something positive. You look good. Look like you're having a really great time. It's so good to see you. La'oram, u'lahagbiyam, u'laharimam, to awaken that good point and to make them feel good. That's what Shifra and Pua, that's what it means. V'techayena sayeladim. They gave those children life. When we're able to say a good word and to express the most basic natural love that we have for another person, for another Jew, it's Shifra and Pua. That's what sparked the revolution in Mitzrayim. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says, is the whole merit of redemption. The whole merit, the whole reason why we merited redemption was because We noticed one another. We watched out for one another. Moshe Rabbeinu was no saint ayin v'lev. Moshe Rabbeinu gave his eyes and his heart, connected with the people around him. He identified with another Jew. That began with the Mialdos. That began with the Mialdos. La'oram, la'gbiam, la'harimam, mikol minei shiflos v'yiridos and afilos shalahem. We didn't have to go into it. But every single one of us knows in our own internet history, in our own day-to-day life, in our own struggles with laziness and cynicism and complacency and selfishness and whatever, that we need to be picked up, that we desire a good word, that we're waiting for somebody to just smile at us and notice us and give us a pat on the back. A parent, a teacher, a friend, a roommate. Alachas kama v'kama. Kids who are here, look at everyone in this room as what you signed up to be, as role models. Belsky Zatzal, Yisrael Belsky, was a Rosh Hashiva in Torah Vadas. He was like the senior posek at the OU. Someone asked for Belsky once, like, you know, he came, like, I remember, the Gedolei Ador, the great poskim of the generation, and Ish Eshkolot, literally. This was like a connoisseur of everything. He was an unbelievable person. Tremendous Baal Avoda. They asked him, like, where did it come from? Like where did you... came from, like, a regular family. You know, in the biography, you know, they, like, you know, go fishing to, like, find a lot of good things to say about the parents and whatever. But, like, in the end of the day, it was a pretty basic, you know, straight up from family. Like, every from family is, you know, filled with the Kudas Tavos and Mesiras Nefesh and Kedusha and Tahara. But, like, it was pretty much, you know, the standard fare as far as it goes. So they asked him, I'm trying to, like, say it nicely. So they asked Belsky, like, what extraordinary thing, like, you know, your mother, like, cry over your learning every day, or, like, your father, like, sell his car to pay for tuition, like what, they're looking for, like, some extraordinary nugget. And Rebelsky, like, smiled and said, my parents are very good people. They said, like, but what pushed you toward godless? And he said, I remember that my mother used to go to bed at night, my mother used to sing to me, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you." I think that like she shone light on him. She expressed her love for him. And when there's sunlight and a little bit of air and there's, you know, a decent environment like Siyata Deshmaya, people grow. La'oram. La'agbiyam, la'harimam, Sometimes we're wondering, like, you know, what do we say? The last time we had like one of these gatherings was on the staff conference a couple months ago, and somebody asked, like, how do we know what to answer? Like, sometimes about emunah and all these questions about bechira and questions about tzadik v'ra'lo and shvat tov lo, and talk about this and the Holocaust. And how do I know what to answer? I don't know what to answer you. I mean, you don't know what to answer yourself. We don't have to have the answers. We don't have to have the answers. The Gemara says, specifically about Shifra and Pua, like, what did they say? Right, that Pua was, she was talking. She was Mishaperet Avlad. What did she say? Like, what was the playbook that Shifra and Pua were saying to these children to give them life? Like, Gugu Gaga, like, what were the words? And the Gemara says that Pua, Baruach HaKodesh, whatever Hashem put into her, that's what she said. We have to open ourselves up a little bit to say Ribono Shel Olam. Like Rav Nosson said after Rabbeinu left the world, I am a shofar. I want to be Meshaper at the world. I want to declare you as Melech and fill the world with Yirat Shamayim, with an awareness of God. I want to be Mamlech. I want to be with the Chayin HaSayaladim. I want to bring life to other people. So Ibn Nasan said, make me a shofar. Let me just be a channel. And speak through me. Fill me with grace. Fill me with your word. Ask Hashem, help me be the kli for your or. Let me be the vessel for the or HaTzadik. And it doesn't have to be so much what we say. As we know, the call of the shofar is beyond words. We don't know what Shifra and Pua said. It was Ruach HaKodesh. But we can also have Ruach HaKodesh. If we attach ourselves to something greater, to the Or HaTzadik, we say, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm here to do your will. I'm here to fill this hotel and this beautiful beachfront environment with your light and with your Ruach, v'techayena sayaladim, because there's a Gzeres Paro in the world that's literally drowning Jewish children in the Nile. The Nile represented more than any other place in Torah, a place of kfira, of kochi v'etzem yadi. Right? Egypt was a very fertile, was a desert land that became very fertile because they irrigated from the Nile. What that represents in Chazal is that Paro said, I don't need the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm going to have irrigation. I'm going to do it myself. And in Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of emunah, we have to daven all the time for rain. Okay, there's desalinization, there's all these different, you know, hydroponics and different ways that we try to get around it. In the end of the day, Hashem says, no, ask me. And Paro says, no, I don't need God. I'm a deity myself. And when Paro goes down to the Yor, that's his way of expressing himself. He's a deity. He doesn't want people to know that he's a regular person. And the Yor represents the place of Kfira. It represents a place of the world being washed away and covered up, and God's role in the world being covered up. When the Jewish children were being drowned in the Yor, so the Rishonim point out that it wasn't just a physical death that Paro was doing, it was trying to wash away that which Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah had passed down to their children. Is that not what the goal of this Yar Chaykala is? To save the Jewish children from being drowned in the Yor? There's a Gzeres Paro. That's Reb Nosson writes. The Paro, part of the expression of Paro in the world, if you look at the third paragraph on the bottom right, part of what Paro is expressing in the world as the Sitra Achra is that other side, the side of impurity, everything in the world exists. There's a flip side of everything light is darkness, and a flip side of everything holy is impurity. And Paro represents that Sitra Achra, that other side. He wrote to Lahapil Atzvusim over Shchor al Kol Echad. Paro represents that dark side which is pulling us down. Kotzeruach v'avodah kasha, to just berate and beat down the Jewish people. To not feel proud of who we are, of our heritage, that we're Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Acha miyaldos hanal on the left, enam shomim leilav. The Mialdos were willing to risk everything and overcame that and didn't listen to Gezeres Paro. Shekol iskam rak lahachios ulechazik yisayaladim sheim bnei hanu'urim harotzim lageshet al hakodesh. Listen carefully, Reb Nosson says. Everything the Mialdos were trying to do was to uproot the Gezeir of Paro. And everything that they were focused on, Yocheved, Miriam, Elisheva, and all of these righteous Jewish women, these heroes, L'hachayot, to enliven, U'lechazek et ha'yaladim, to strengthen the Jewish children, Shehem b'nei hanu'urim, the young people, teenagers, Harotzim la'gesher ala kodesh, who just want to be connected to something holy. Bevadai, bevadai, any kid who's here on this program is in the category of someone who's lageshet alakodesh, who just wants to be good and be connected to Torah mitzvahs. What do we say? What do we do? How do we convince them? You don't have to do anything. No convincing. There's no telling over, and there's no convincing. All there is Rav Nachman explains, as someone who's giving over, who's filled with the Orat Tzadik, is Rachmanut, Rachmanus, which is expressed as Lahagbiyam, to lift them up, Ulaharimam, and then lift them up even higher. Rak Lahachayosam Ulachazkam Bechol Minechius Vischazkus. Whatever it takes to make another person feel good, whatever it takes to awaken the light that's inside of them and to make it shine. Whatever it takes to just point out what's going right in their life and what's going good. They'll say, oh, since TJJ this summer, since Kol this summer, this is Machina this summer, since whatever, this program, I haven't done this, I don't keep Shabbos, I don't keep kosher, I stopped wearing skirts, I stopped davening, wearing tefillin. Don't tell me what you're not doing. Mach patli. Tell me what's going right. Point out the bright points, the Nekudas Tovos, what's happening. L'hachayosam, don't give death, give life. What's yes happening? And embrace. And embrace them and illuminate them and breathe life into them. After the war, things were very bleak in Eretz Israel and all over the world. The state of Talmud Torah and the state of the transmission of Yiddishkeit, things were difficult. Rabbi Yaakov Naiman was a Talmud of Lomja. He was a Makurov to the Chafetz Chaim. Before the war, he left Europe in 1935. After Reb Chaim Ozer told him to start Yeshiva Katana, he felt very strongly that he had to go to Eretz Israel, and he begged Reb Chaim Ozer and the Chafetz Chaim for permission. And he came to Petach Tikva and started a yeshiva there. He named the yeshiva in memory and in honor of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, or Yisrael. God saw them, the greatness of mankind. He was a person who was an incredible Baal Musar. His Sefer Darkei Musar was written in the 1930s and 40s. He said those shmuzin, and he writes it the way the Maharash writes the Kuntresim. Bnei Yekirai, my beloved son. That's how he began his shmuzin. Anyways, Rabbi Yaakov Naiman was an impressive Baal Musar in Rosh Yeshiva. Guys told him, came to him, this is the 1940s. Guys came to him and told him that there was a bacher who on Saturday nights on Motzei Shabbos was sneaking out of yeshiva, hopping on a bus, going to the big city, and going to the theater watching movies. Which already, is no good. So Yaakov Naiman said, every Motzei Shabbos? They said, yeah, basically every Saturday night he's going. I don't know what the Petach Tikva movie situation was back then, but they didn't have like 8 theaters changing movies all the time. Kids was going out and watching the same movie every week. So he told him, let me know. Next time he goes, just let me know when he sneaks out. So the guys are excited now. Like, there's not, it's a little action in the yeshiva. So the next Saturday night, the next Motzei Shabbos, they come over to Rabbi Yaakov Naiman to the yeshiva, and they said, he went. So Rabbi Yaakov Naiman grabbed his coat and hat, got into a cab, and took a cab to the theater. He beat him there. He headed him off at the pass. And he was waiting there by the box office. The Rosh Yeshiva was waiting there by the box office. And this bacher, this yeshiva bacher, comes out on one winter Motzei Shabbos, and as he's coming close to the theater, to the ticket booth there, he sees Rabbi Yaakov Naiman. I'm a kurav of the Chafetz Chaim. He was someone who was like this with Rabbi Chaim Ozer. And he knew that he was caught. Rabbi Yaakov Naiman looked at him and says, "Nu, so winter. It's winter. It's cold outside. Well, gaze in the mantle. Where's your coat? kid was like taken aback. He said to him again, Savinter, it's winter, it's cold outside. The gazed in the mantle, like, where's your coat? The kid couldn't even open his mouth to speak. He was totally shocked. Rabbi Yaakov Naaman took off his Rabbanisha coat, his long coat. He went over to the Bachar and he put it on him. He held it for him. He wrapped him in it. And he pat him on the back and he said, enjoy. Enjoy. And he got back in the cab and went back to yeshiva. The Bachar came back to yeshiva like half an hour later. The guy said, what happened? Did yeshiva call you? What did you do with the movie? And he goes, the movie, I couldn't even open my eyes. I couldn't even sit down. The mantle. I had the Rosh Hashiva's coat. You don't need to say anything. Don't tell them what's going wrong. Just embrace them. It's cold outside. Just embrace them. There's Gezeras Paro outside. Breathe life into them. V'tchayena esayaladim. That's Yirat Shamayim. Just embody it. Just live it. And that'll be the ultimate expression of Malchus Shamayim, which we do on Rosh Hashanah. That's the way we're getting ready for New Year's. This chevra here is getting ready for New Year's. We're getting ready to blow the shofar that's going to redeem the world the same way the Mialdos redeemed us from Mitzrayim. Hashem should continue to bless all of us with the opportunity to live with this Orat Tzadik, to be ones who are breathing life into each other. And we should know that whatever we're saying to them that's real about them, it's also about ourselves. We should always be able to see the good in ourselves, to see the good in those who were that we're working with and helping along. And Emirat Hashem together, we'll be zocha to see the gula, not just from Mitzrayim in our parsha, but the gula in our own personal lives and for all of Klal Yisrael.